If you have a Bible and would like to be opening, we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew this morning. We're going to look at two or three different passages. We'll be first in Matthew 14, if you'd like to be finding that. Matthew chapter 14 is where we will begin in just a moment. Today is kind of a strange Sunday for me in a couple of ways. And one of those ways is that my son Harrison is getting into the pulpit about right now over at the Centerville congregation. He is their preacher this morning. And so my heart obviously is with him. I'm hoping that my head will be with me and be right here, and I'll be able to do this morning. I've been praying all week and saying, Lord, if only one of us can do well, let it be him. So you can let me know after the sermon if the Lord answered that prayer or not. Also, I got a text from Mickey Mathis, and up at Five Points, they are beginning a gospel meeting today, and their speaker has gotten sick, and so he's asking if I can help them. So when I finish here, we'll go do class, and then I'm going to head up to Five Points and be a part of their gospel meeting today and help them some through this week as well. Be finding out more about that when I get up there. One note before we get into the scriptures for your prayers. Jane Chandler Gilbert has been diagnosed with lung cancer. She is the sister of Clay and Kenneth Chandler, and she is getting both radiation treatments and chemotherapy. She's getting daily radiation treatments up at Vanderbilt. She's getting weekly chemotherapy treatments to try to deal with this lung cancer. So as you might imagine, that is a big deal, and that family is requesting prayers. So if you don't mind bowing with me, let's have a prayer at this time. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord's Day, and we thank you for the privilege that we have to come into your presence and worship you this morning, and for the privilege that we have to pray to you and know that you listen. And Father, we lift up the name of Jane Chandler Gilbert this morning, and we lift up her family before you. We pray for healing, and not only healing, but we pray for help and hope while they wait for healing of this cancer. We thank you for the good family, and we ask your blessings on all of them, and we just pray that you'll drive this lung cancer out of her body and banish it forever and give her many more years of health and happiness in this life. Be with us, Father, as we look into your word, and may we treat it as a mirror. May we look for things that we might need to change about our spiritual lives, and may we determine that we're going to make those changes. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeff Bezos is the richest man on the planet today, they tell us. If you can imagine this, his net worth is over $200 billion. Now, suppose Jeff Bezos is with us this morning to worship, and you talk to him on the back porch after the worship service. And suppose he says to you, you know what, I'm looking to unload this big pile of money, at least some of it. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm either going to give you $1 million, no questions asked, right here on this porch. Or I'm going to give you one penny. And I'm going to double that penny every day for 1 month. What do you choose? I don't know about you, but I would take the 1 million. I want the big thing. Give it to me right now. But if you made that choice, you walked away from a lot of money. In a 30-day month, if you take a penny and double it every day, that penny becomes over $5 million. And in a month like August, which has 31 days, that one penny doubled daily becomes 10.7 million and some change. We want the big thing, don't we? But what we forget is little things, when they are improved in tiny little increments and when they grow, turn into big things. A man asked his wife, why is it that you decided to marry me in the first place? And she said, well, I married you for your brains. It's the little things that count. I want to tell you, little things do count. They count more than we know. And I want to tell you from God's word this morning that you need to learn to think small. And I want to tell you four advantages of thinking small. Number one, small things can lead to fruitfulness. Small things can lead to fruitfulness. Now, we're in Matthew 14, and I want to read verse 15 through about 18. As evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Now, when I say that small things can lead to fruitfulness, what I mean by fruitfulness is just productivity. I hope that you want to lead a productive life for God and for other people. And I want you to know that taking care of the little things can lead to that productive life. Here in our text, you've got a large crowd of people who've been following Jesus, probably as many as 20,000, 5,000 men, you add in women and children, maybe 20,000 people. And they've become so engrossed in Jesus' ministry that they'd lost track of place and time. And all of a sudden they look up and it's late in the day and they're tired and they're hungry and they're not right next to a village where they can get food. And the disciples come to Jesus and say, you know, that they need food. What are we going to do? But you know the story, and you know that there was this little boy in the crowd. And this little boy had a little bit of food. He had packed a little lunch, 2 fish about the size of sardines. And 5 loaves, the Bible says, but actually they were probably small, flat biscuits. And that's what he had. But this little boy was willing to take that little bit and bring it to Jesus. And Jesus took that little bit and turned it into enough food, just like manna from heaven. He turned it into enough food to feed the 20,000 who were there or so. And there was food left over after everybody was full. You talk about Wonder Bread. But this little boy with his little bit brought it to Jesus, and Jesus turned it into something great. And the lesson here, folks, is that small things become big things when I'm willing to give them to Jesus. Don't think that because you are not a big shot, God can't use you. The truth is, if you are a big shot, that might prevent God from using you. There are some people who are too big for God to use. There's nobody too small for God to use. And I want to tell you something else. Don't compare yourself and your abilities to other people. The danger is not that you can't do what somebody else can do. The danger is that you won't do what you can do. You just bring your little bit to God through faith and you watch what happens. In Luke 24, we read about this poor widow. Buddy made an allusion to her maybe last Sunday during the Lord's Supper, recently at least. This poor widow, and she brought 2 mites, 2 pennies basically, and dropped them into the temple treasury. And Jesus saw her and said, "She did a great thing." Do we really believe that? I mean, there's no doubt she didn't have much and she gave generously, but did it really matter? 2 pennies? Have you ever wondered how much money has been given down through the centuries by people who have been inspired and motivated by that woman's example? I would say easily in the millions of dollars have been given to the kingdom of God and other good causes, maybe into the billions, and probably into the billions, by people who have been inspired by that little woman and her little gift that day in the temple treasury. Just a little thing, 2 pennies. And only God knows for sure, but I would grant you that that 2 pennies has turned into billions of dollars that have been put to use for good in this world. Little things become big things when we give them to God. Small things lead to fruitfulness. But also small things can lead to faithfulness. I want to go to Matthew 25 now and look at verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5 that he had gained. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. This, of course, is the parable of the talents, and we looked at this a couple of weeks ago in a sermon. But Jesus is teaching us that faithfulness in the little, small, day-to-day things prepares us for faithfulness in the big things. Faithfulness in little things prepare us to be faithful successfully in the big things. King David did big things, didn't he? I mean, David had his faults, and those are well documented, but David overall was one of the greatest kings that's ever lived in this world. Under his leadership, he took Israel, God's people in the Old Testament era, he took them to the status of world superpower. How did David prepare to be such a great leader? How did he prepare for that spotlight of being the king of a nation? He took care of some sheep. David was a shepherd, and he went out there in the fields, and he watched over his sheep, and he led them. He took them to where there was water. He took them to where there was food. He took them to where they could get some rest. And that leadership, that little thing, when nobody was out there watching, the press wasn't covering it, but that leadership of those sheep was preparing him to lead an entire nation of God's people. Of course, David's shining moment, or at least one of them, was defeating that giant warrior, Goliath. How did he get ready to do that as just a teenage boy? Well, while David was out of the spotlight in the fields when nobody was watching, he protected those sheep. And when a predator came, even a predator like a bear or a lion, David learned to kill those predators to protect the sheep. And when he got to that giant Goliath, he said, hey, I've prepared for this. I'm ready. How did he prepare? By doing the little things before he ever got in that spotlight. Now, this goes the other way too. We know that the Apostle Peter is famous for failing in his big moment. When Jesus was arrested and tried and crucified, Peter denied knowing him. But if we read the Gospels carefully, we see Peter's failure coming. Because we see him earlier in the Gospels failing in the little things. We see him bragging when he should have been humble. We see him on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, talking when he should have been listening and worshiping. We see him in the Garden of Gethsemane, sleeping, when he should have been watching and praying. We see him when they come to arrest Jesus, pull his sword and strike out against one of the Roman soldiers when he should have been submitting to God's plan. He failed in all of these smaller things. And then when that big moment came and God's plan came to fruition and Jesus is going to the cross under that spotlight, Peter wasn't ready for success. He was ready for failure because that's what he'd been preparing for. Faithfulness in the small things leads us to be faithful in the big things when we get under that big spotlight. Are you faithful in the small things? Are you the kind of person who feels like it's okay for you to park in an illegal parking spot? Do you feel like the traffic laws and the tax laws are for those other folks, but not necessarily for you? Will you take $5 here or there when you can and no one will notice? You say, those are little things. Yes, they are. And they are preparing you when you get under the spotlight of the big things to fail if you're unfaithful in them. Preacher this week said, if I can't trust the Lord with a dime out of a dollar, how am I going to trust him when something big happens? You see, your faithfulness in those little things is preparing you for success or failure with the big things. Number three, small things can lead to forcefulness. I'm going to go back to Matthew 17 now, to forcefulness, if I can say it. Matthew 17, 14 and following. This is Matthew 17, 14 and following. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. The disciples had been given the ability to heal people who were sick and cast out demons. But then when it comes to this little boy, they can't do it. What happened? What happened is they began to put their faith in themselves instead of in God. They began to look at their ability to heal and drive out demons as magic tricks that they could do, and God didn't have to do it with them. And Jesus says, that's why you failed. You got faith, but it's in you. It's not in God. And Jesus says, if you have just a little tiny speck of faith, but it's in the right person, it's in God, then you'll be able to move mountains. Not literally, of course, but you'll be able to do things that seem impossible. You'll be able to accomplish things that seem insurmountable. If you just have a little faith, but you put that faith in the right place, and that, of course, is putting it in God. We're not saying this morning that we should think small. We ought to be growing as people. We ought to be growing as professionals. We ought to be growing as a church. And if we're not, we're failing. We should be aiming for growth. We're not saying aim small. We're not saying aim low. We're saying that when you take care of the little things one moment and one instant at a time, those little things add up to big things. They lead up to the kind of forcefulness that Jesus says can move a mountain. John Wooden is widely considered the greatest basketball coach ever. And if you look at his record, you just can't argue with that. He was the college coach for the UCLA Bruins. He won 10 national championships in a period of 12 years. His teams won 88 straight games. They had two undefeated seasons where they were national champions in a row. John Wooden retired in 1975, and there's no coach that has come close to those kinds of things. John Wooden, of course, recruited the greatest basketball players, high school basketball players in the nation, and those players were shocked at their first practice under John Wooden at UCLA. Because at the first practice, John Wooden taught them how to put on their socks and shoes. And I mean, he literally took a pair of socks and demonstrated how to roll them up and get them on your foot and get them up your calf. He took a pair of shoes, basketball shoes, and showed them how to lace them, how to put their foot in them, how to tie them. He said, if you don't know this, it can lead to blisters. Blisters can lead to mispractices or even missed games and lower performance. Blisters could cost us a championship, so let's fix this. When asked about why he did such a thing, John Wooden said, and I'll quote him, it's the little details that make the big things come about. Michelangelo, that great sculptor, was working on a piece once, and some people came to see it and admire it, and it looked good. And they went away, and about a month later, they came back. And they looked at that sculpture again, and they said, man, it's been a month. What have you done? We can't see any difference. And he said, oh, I smoothed the place there and skimmed the place there and fixed a little place there, a little blemish. And they said, Michelangelo, it's been a month. What you're doing is just trifling. And he said, yes, these things are trifles, but trifles make perfection, and perfection is no trifle. He said, you get perfection by taking care of all those little things along the way. So small things can lead to forcefulness. We want to do big things. And the way to do that is one small thing at a time. Finally, small things can lead to favor. If you're looking in Matthew with us, let's go back to 25, Matthew chapter 25. And let's read a few verses from the parable of the sheep and goats. Start in verse 37. Let's make that 34 beginning. So this is Matthew 25, 34. Yeah, they've moved it, you see. 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will say, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Now, this is the parable of the sheep and the goats. The sheep are those who will be saved on Judgment Day. The goats, those who will be lost on Judgment Day. And did you hear why the saved are saved? They had the heart to serve in Jesus' name in little ways. They had faith in Jesus that said, you know what, I'm going to bless Jesus' people, and in blessing Jesus' people, I am blessing him, actually. And in serving Jesus' people, I am serving him. And Jesus praised them for it. And folks, the promise of Scripture is that no little tiny deed of service goes unnoticed. I was listening to a preacher preach on this subject this week, and he preached for a large church, and he says, every church should have a ballroom, and we got one. He said, it's right down here. It's where the kids go, and there are it's an attended nursery, and kids are in there balling. It's a ballroom. And he said, we have these women who are in there with them. And they're holding them, and they're rocking them, and they're cuddling them, and they're calming them, and they're wiping little noses and changing little diapers and giving little drinks. And he looked out at the congregation, and he said, you don't even know, most of you, that that's going on. You didn't know we had a ballroom. But he said, those women in there serving, you don't know about it, but I'll tell you who knows about it. Heaven knows about it. You can't give one juice box, you can't give one drink of water in the name of God without heaven knowing about it. You've heard me tell before about the missionary. Ray Stedman tells about this, the missionary who gave his life to mission work in Africa. And he was an old, tired man in his 80s, and he and his wife were failing in health, and they had to come back to the States and retire from that mission work. So they were on a ship coming back to the States, and it happened to be the same ship that President Teddy Roosevelt was on. He had been down in Africa on one of those hunting safaris. And the ship was just abuzz about Teddy Roosevelt, of course, and everybody was trying to get a glimpse of him and meet him and say something to him. They came to the harbor, and there were crowds there, and the press was there, and the mayor was there, and everybody was there looking for Teddy Roosevelt, cheering. And this little missionary couple who had given 50 years of their lives to mission work got off, and nobody was there to welcome them. Nobody was there to cheer. Nobody knew. They got in a hotel room, and the wife knew something was wrong with her husband. And he just poured out his heart. He said, "It's not fair. You got a man going on a silly hunting trip, and people are just going crazy, and they welcome him with this grand parade. And we did the Lord's work for 50 years, and not a soul was here to welcome us home." His wife said, "Why don't you go pray about it?" The man went into a room, closed the door, got down on his knees, and poured his heart out to God. "Lord, why did we not get a homecoming after what we did?" Came back to his wife, and she could tell that he had changed, and he had this peaceful look now. He was at peace with it all. She said, "What happened?" She said, and he said, "Well, it was as if the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, 'Son, you're not home yet.'" Every little act of service, every drink of water, every note, every call, every visit, everything matters to God. The press doesn't care. The world doesn't care. But God knows, God sees, God cares. And when you do an act of service, as small as it might be, you are sending it on up to heaven where it's going to wait on you. Learn to think small. Because small things can lead to faithfulness and fruitfulness and forcefulness and favor. If somebody comes down the aisle this morning and names Jesus as their Savior and repents of their sins and puts him on in baptism, the world is not going to notice and the world is not going to care. It is not newsworthy. But I want to tell you, Scripture says that heaven is watching. And that the angels are ready to throw a party if one person will name the name of Jesus and let Jesus save them this morning. Maybe you're that person who hasn't put him on in baptism. We offer you the invitation to come and do that right now. It's together we stand and as we sing.